All right, welcome. Mike Adams here. We're going to talk about the radiation dirty bomb false flag event shaping up in Ukraine and also the 101st Airborne. What's about to happen, I believe it's going to be a slaughter. And I'm very concerned about it. And I'm sorry about the background noise. I am currently riding along in my big diesel combustion engine Ford F-250, which is burning hydrocarbons as we speak, and I'm loving every minute of it. So getting into the issue at hand, you are probably already well aware that there is a dirty bomb that is being manufactured and set in place by Ukraine, with the help of NATO, of course, and that this dirty bomb is going to be, or at least the plan is, to detonate it soon in order to create a radiological event that could be blamed, falsely blamed on Russia, while at the same time causing radioactive dust to drift over NATO countries, which would initiate Article 5, calling for a NATO response, a joint NATO response. Essentially, this false flag radiological dirty bomb weapon is going to be used to start World War III and put the United States and NATO in direct conflict with Russia. So now that's, I'm not going to go into details of that because that's been widely reported at this point. And of course, Russia's defense minister Shoigu has been desperately trying to warn NATO countries that this is exactly the plan by Ukraine. But of course, those NATO countries, they will hear nothing of it because they want war too, for whatever reason. They have a suicide wish. Now, in the meantime, the 101st Airborne, so-called Screaming Eagles, has been deployed. And I mistakenly said in a podcast, I thought they'd been deployed to Poland. It's actually Romania. They've been deployed to Romania, and they are there because, and I've heard other analysts on this point, including a commentary from Gonzalo Lira and so on, and I agree with it, that it looks like the 101st Airborne is going to get dropped into Odessa, which is just west of where this dirty bomb incident is being planned. And that from Odessa, the U.S. and NATO forces will push eastward in direct conflict, you know, direct war with Russia on, you know, Ukrainian soil, essentially, or what has been Ukrainian soil. Obviously, it's disputed. Nevertheless, this is going to put the U.S. and Russia in direct conflict. Now, the 101st Airborne, well, let me back up. I am extremely concerned about this for several reasons. One of them is that the 101st Airborne is only at 60% strength because of recruiting problems. Because apparently nobody in America wants to join the military anymore, at least not until Tom Cruise came out with his movie, and now everybody wants to be a fighter pilot for the Navy. Okay, fine. But there aren't enough young men and women getting recruited into the Army. And so the 101st is at very low strength. And even if it were at full strength, the 101st is light infantry. Now, not everybody understands the difference between light infantry and heavy infantry and armored units and so on. And I'm no expert in it, but I understand the basics. Light infantry, they drop out of airplanes with parachutes, so there's a limit of what they can carry. And you can't drop tanks out of airplanes, by the way. I mean, you can drop some armored vehicles out of C-130s if you don't mind Russia, you know, shooting them down half the time. But you're not going to drop tanks, like main battle tanks, out of airplanes. You're not going to drop heavy artillery out of airplanes with the 101st. It's very limited. And even the individual soldier can only carry so much ammo and comms gear and so on. I mean, yeah, you can have light mortar units and some artillery rounds, but it's extremely limited. So the 101st, if they get dropped into Odessa out of airplanes, I mean, first of all, why would they even do that knowing that Russia is going to shoot down those airplanes before those soldiers can even deploy their parachutes? So they might just try a land movement into Odessa, but Russia's going to see that too. And my concern is that even if 101st Airborne troops somehow make it to Odessa without getting utterly annihilated by Russia, well, even if they make it there, Russia's going to launch thermobaric weapons. Thermobaric weapons are not nuclear weapons, but they are, in essence, large area anti-personnel weapons. They're basically fuel-air explosives on a mega scale. These weapon systems, of which Russia has plenty, by the way, can annihilate military personnel, and they can even penetrate light armored vehicles, not heavy armor, not main battle tanks, but lighter armored vehicles and logistics supply vehicles that would be necessary to support the 101st Airborne. So I don't think the 101st Airborne is going to have a very high survival rate if they deploy, frankly, anywhere in Ukraine and try to face off with Russia. Russia has a vastly superior artillery. Russia has incredible proximity to their own manufacturing, their own rail lines, their own supply chains, where America has to bring everything from overseas, obviously. And in addition, as I pointed out recently, Russia has an industrial manufacturing capacity that allows it to sustain the industrial output necessary to wage an ongoing war with other powers of the world. In other words, Russia has steel and iron ore and aluminum. Russia has manufacturing of tanks and weapons and rockets and rocket engines and high-tech and microchips and everything that Russia needs. Russia doesn't have to go anywhere else to build the weapons of war. Where America has to get rare earth minerals from China, America is dealing with problems in the copper supply chain. America has shut down its iron ore processing facilities and steel facilities over the past few decades because it's all been outsourced to places like China. So while America has gone, and also Western Europe, have leaned into globalism, which is offshoring everything, Russia, because of economic sanctions that have been in place for a long time, not just this year, Russia has had to build its own domestic supply chain for critical materials for wartime production. So Russia is actually better prepared, better suited to fight a war right now, by a long shot. And by the way, Western Europe is shutting down its metals smelting operations. So in Germany right now, the world's largest steel manufacturing facility has just been shut down, or is about to be shut down, I should clarify. And the name is, what is it, ArcelorMittal? I forgot the exact pronunciation or spelling of that. It's a German word. But they're on the verge of shutting down. Aluminum has already shut down over 70%. Manganese, nickel, iron, copper, all of these have been shut down across Europe to the point where those who are in the metals industry are warning that Europe is going to face a future of, quote, deindustrialization, which means the annihilation of Western Europe's heavy industry. Now, with electricity prices in some places 1,000% higher than they should be, and with a hard winter coming where many people are going to freeze to death in Europe and starve to death across Europe, well, they don't have excess power to run metals smelting operations to produce iron ore or to produce steel. So Europe cannot manufacture weapons of war, period. So whatever they have in inventory, which isn't much, will be gone in the first 2 to 4 weeks of actually engaging in a war with Russia. It'll be gone. The European military might, which is almost a laughable term to apply to Europe's military, and I'm talking about all of it, Germany, Poland, France, the UK, you know, Greece, Italy, all of it combined. If they all combined all their forces, it's a joke compared to Russia. Why? Well, for the reasons I've just mentioned. Because you can throw your men all day at an enemy, but if you don't have ammunition and artillery shells, and if you can't replenish your supply chain, then you lose the war. Because Russia can replenish. And not only has Russia mobilized 300,000 soldiers recently, there are rumors, not yet confirmed, but rumors that Russia is going to call up the full 1.2 million that their defense minister said is a possibility. That they can call up, I think it's 1.2, it might have been 1.5, but it's over a million. So Russia has enough personnel, Russia has industry, and Russia has the finance, because Russia is earning massive dollars. Well, I'm sorry, not dollars, rubles, and perhaps gold. Russia is earning massive rubles by selling coal and oil and fertilizer and diesel fuel and natural gas, obviously, and many other things, including aluminum and whatever. Oh, and wheat, too, by the way. Russia has a lot of wheat. So Russia is basically, they're just bathing in money at this point. Like real money that's not losing value, it turns out, because the ruble is doing extremely well. So Russia's got the money, Russia's got the industry, Russia's got the personnel, and Russia has advanced hypersonic missile systems and advanced anti-air defense systems such as the S-500. So the West has none of those things. The West doesn't have the personnel. The West doesn't have the industry. The West doesn't have the money. The West is running on printed money debt, which is already, what, $31 trillion in America? The Bank of England is on the verge of collapse. The euro is collapsing by the day. Europe and America together don't have what is necessary to fight a prolonged war with Russia or China, much less both of them at the same time. So the 101st, and this is what concerns me, the 101st Airborne is headed into a slaughter. And if they deploy, let's say, 50,000 soldiers, then they should expect to see 25,000 draped coffins returning to America, because they could quite literally suffer a 50% casualty rate once Russia starts unleashing thermobaric explosives, missile systems, hypersonic missiles, and what have you. So yes, 50%. Now, okay, I'm not a super military expert. That's just a number that I'm guesstimating. You could say, well, it's higher, it's lower, or you could be absurd and say, no, they're going to beat Russia. Yeah, they're just going to fight their way eastward and beat Russia in a land war. Okay, well, yeah, maybe you think men can get pregnant too and women produce sperm. I mean, you're free to have your delusions, but don't mistake them for reality. Reality is harsh. And when the first Iskander rockets come in, the missile systems carrying thermobaric fuel air explosives, reality is going to hit very, very hard. Now, the second thing I'm concerned about is that once this dirty bomb goes off, should that happen, and that's the direction where things are headed, it looks like, Russia is going to interpret that as an act of nuclear terrorism. How do we know that? Because they've said so. And as an act of nuclear terrorism, threatening their newly annexed regions of the Donbass, Russia says that they're going to reserve the right to respond to such an act of nuclear terrorism with any and all options at their disposal, which includes their nuclear missiles. So knowing that, I mean, think about the game theory here, folks. Knowing that America and Ukraine plan to detonate a dirty bomb radiological weapon as a false flag, and then to blame Russia, and then to whip up public support for the West launching nuclear weapons against Russia in a massive first strike attempt to take out Russia. Knowing that that's where this is headed, what is Putin's chess move on this chessboard? Well, obviously, his move is that as soon as the dirty bomb goes off, Russia would launch its own nuclear first strike with an overwhelming volley of ICBMs and hypersonic missiles with nuclear warheads and its Poseidon underwater drone nuclear weapon systems, that Russia would launch that, 30 seconds later. Russia would not wait for America to whip up public support to launch an American nuclear strike on Russia. Russia's best play in terms of game theory would be to immediately launch an overwhelming nuclear strike on all Western cities and military bases, including, of course, London and Paris and Berlin and Warsaw and Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, U.S. ports, probably Houston, and so on. It's obvious. That is Russia's best strategic card to play at that moment, knowing that the West is insane, that Victoria Nuland is an insane psychopath, that Joe Biden is a mentally retarded dementia patient, that the puppet masters pulling the strings of the Obama administration are themselves insane psychopaths who are trying to start World War III and who have no qualms about decimating or annihilating the lives of maybe billions of people in a global thermonuclear war. See, Russia can no longer count on Western leaders being rational or being sane in any way whatsoever or being compassionate, even in regards to their own people. Russia can only count on Western leaders being completely insane and doing the most irrational thing possible. And thus, in Russia's own survival and just self-preservation, they may be forced into a position where they believe that a first strike nuclear attack on the West is their best option, or perhaps their only option. And it seems to me that Western leaders are, in fact, pushing Russia into precisely that position on purpose, because they want America destroyed, and they, the Western leaders, know that the best way to get America destroyed is to convince Putin to nuke America. And this is their way of doing that. See, Obama, who is running the Biden administration, yes, Obama is one of the puppet masters, and Susan Rice and others, they've been wanting to destroy America, you know, from the get-go. This is how they plan to do it. So if you think that your leaders care about you or your survival or your country, no. They're trying to destroy you, and they just want Russia to do it for them. That's what we're looking at here. That's the scenario that's unfolding. That's how insane this is. And that shows the danger of rigged elections, too, by the way. Rigged elections have catastrophic consequences, because the criminals that rigged the elections are the same criminals who are then in charge destroying your nation. Think about this, folks. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com, and naturalnews.com. I pray for your safety. Take care. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you, simply because I want like-minded people to survive.